Yvonne Sanson from Fox League coming up shortly. Just a couple of random texts here. Hi, fellas. The 63rd Grafton to Inverell cycle race will be held tomorrow with the first riders leaving Grafton at 7:15 on the 228-kilometre journey. They have to climb the 18 k's of the Gibraltar Range. There will be rolling closures of the Gwydir Highway until around 2 p.m. Thanks for that, Craig. And another one. Lad's got an end-of-season cricket trip to Kembla tomorrow. Have you got any mail for us? Ask Brett from Penrith. Well, Ali Mosley had a tip at Kembla for us. Race 1, number 3, Bullets High. She likes at Kembla tomorrow. And she also went wide, which we like, Loz. Wanganui.
I love Wanganui.
She's got a tip at Wanganui tomorrow. Race 5, number 7, Titled. And today at Tamworth, we can build the bank with race 1, number 1, Helsey Bell, which is short, $2.10 when I last checked. But also at Rose Hill tomorrow, she likes race 2, number 17, Run With The Tide. Race 6, number 7, Cigar Flick. And at Eagle Farm, she's keen on race 8, number 5, Jimmy Star. But also in that race, we'll be having a bet on Williamsburg, number 4 as well. So that's Ali Mosley's mail for the weekend. Loz's multi is up and flying.
So it's Green Shadows. Race 3, number 7, Green Shadows, top 2. Into race 8, number 4, Waterford, top 4. That's paying $6. Now, Middo,
the music starting, Loz.
Well, the music starting. I've got a bit of toe-tapping going on. But one thing I have noticed about this tournament, if you come here, there's something happening everywhere. Mm. And I haven't been to many golf tournaments, but I'm assuming most tournaments would be like nothing.
Wouldn't be like this.
Like this. Wouldn't be like this at all. Mm. And did you see where they're practicing their drives today?
They've been
elevated.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
So they're not on the ground. They're up on that stand. I don't know whether you can see it. Just around the corner there.
Mm.
And they're elevated. They're up high so people can see a lot of interaction
with
the public.
It's a great setup.
It is a great setup, mate.
Let's talk some footy, though. Yvonne Sampson's joining us. How are you, Yvonne?
I'm beautiful, boys. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic. And Anzac Day delivered a lot of points, really, in the end, wasn't there, across the three games, particularly the last two. Let's start with the main event, as always, though, the Dragons and the Roosters. Oh, gee, it must have been a tough day. Oh, I think you were there, weren't you? I saw you there with Chris in a photo. How was it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think the Anzac Day at Allianz is essential for any footy fan, whether you support the Roosters or Dragons or don't. I just think the spectacular way that they honour our servicemen and women is truly special. And, to be there is always a privilege. For all those pre-game ceremonies and all the moments that you take to reflect on our defence history and future. So, yeah, it was lovely to be there. Was it lovely to be there with a Dragons fan? No, absolutely not. horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. And I think once the scoreboard ticked over to 50, he went, let's go. So we were, and I never endorsed leaving a game early, but we were one of the many, many, many Red V fans just making their miserable way out of Allianz. That was some declaration by the Roosters. And I think they've been under the pump from multiple angles in recent weeks. You know, all different attitudes and questions and critics arising around what the Roosters are doing, why aren't they performing the way we'd expect them to do. But, that was a spectacular scoreboard effort. Once you tick over 60 points at Allianz Stadium on one of the biggest regular season games that we have in the year, it's pretty special.
Yeah, I think you're right there, and everything you said there, Vonnie, about the Roosters, I think we're all waiting to see a performance like that and wondering whether they could deliver it, given the roster that they've got, how they've assembled it, and it just wasn't clicking, and we're all having our own thoughts on why it wasn't. But yesterday, it worked. Two questions. One, can they continue to play like that, and wasn't it great to see Sam Walker play as well as he did and take ownership of that group? And he looked like he was the dominant force out there yesterday.
Oh, Sam Walker, 10 out of 10. That was a out-of-the-box performance. That was a statement that he needed to make. And, you know, he scored a try, set up three others. He kicked 10 from 10, a 24-point personal haul. And for such a little halfback, he had such a huge impact. And he absolutely tore the Dragons apart. And you could see, even when Trent Robinson spoke after that game and he said, look, you know, Sam's different. He doesn't conform to all the constraints and the rules and the normality that you want. He's a bit of a coach killer in that regard. He just sort of does what he wants to do, but he's a sheer footy player. He sort of does things that he feels is right and he goes on instinct. And, you know, he goes sometimes for the high-risk stuff, but it works. And when you see him in full flight like that, I thought, yeah, it was spectacular to see Sam really have a game like that. The Dragons just went back into their shell. And I think it was tough when they lost Moses Sully from that first tackle of the game. You know, Jared Weir-Hargreaves carting the ball back off that opening kickoff. And you just thought, oh, my goodness, this could be a really long afternoon for the Dragons. And poor Zach Lomax, he is leading the Dally M count heading into this round, and that was probably his worst game ever. So, yeah, Flano's got a lot to look at for St George Illawarra. He said that brought them down to earth with a thud. Can the Roosters keep it up? Well, that's the thing. They've got to keep up this consistency. They've got to keep up this energy because, yeah, they've got a lot of headway to make up, to be honest. Now, I know the competition's really tight, but they need to give another few performances and start banking these wins. It doesn't all have to be 60 points, obviously, but yeah, just to keep everyone at bay and keep everyone happy and to perform the way we want them to perform, yeah, more games like that, please.
Vonster, Dragons weren't great, but neither were the Rabbitohs. What are they going to do?
Well, gosh, you feel sorry for Jason Demetriou, don't you? He said once again, yep, he's going to be wondering about his future after a performance like that. He urged his players to take some ownership, you know, because they were thrashed 54-20 by the Storm in Melbourne. And look, playing Melbourne in Melbourne on Anzac Day, it's a really tough ask for anyone. It's usually the Warriors, but the Warriors wanted to take Anzac Day to New Zealand for a special ceremony and to celebrate on their own soil, which you can respect. So the Rabbitohs got the call up to go down to Amy Park. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with the Rabbitohs. I think if they get pumped again next week by Penrith on Thursday, does that mean that David Ferner takes over for the rest of the season? I mean, what's their timeline? They said they've got this 5-week period. But yeah, I think there's more questions than answers coming out of South at the moment. And yeah, I don't feel like we're seeing any sort of clear headway at all, because 54-20 and the way that they went about it, not much has changed there, unfortunately.
Cameron Munster, Vonnie, as a Queenslander, and you know, we've been worried about his fitness, or at least certainly Queensland fans worried about his fitness and what level he is at. Well, based on what we saw last night, there will be no one else but him in the number 6 Maroons jersey.
Oh, Jesus, good to see little Munster pop up when you you just start to think, how far away is Origin? You know, you've had those conversations with your mates. When's Origin again? When's game one? Yeah. Oh, look, just about this time, and Cameron Munster brings out a performance like that. He's so dominant. He's so tough. He's so clever. And yeah, when he puts together like that, and I also think Jerome Hughes is probably one of the most underrated halfbacks in the competition. So when you see that spine all ticking together, Harry Grant, Ryan Pappenhausen, I know they've had very limited time together over recent years, but yeah, Munster certainly the beneficiary, and you better believe Billy Slater would have been very happy with what he saw last night.
What do you make of Melbourne, Vonnie? At the start of the year, I didn't have Melbourne as one of my teams that would play in a grand final, but I think I need to reassess that, because I think they are capable of being there and winning it from what I've been seeing, and they're building nicely. And that was a performance I was looking for from them last night.
Yeah, I think Melbourne, I'm with you, Loz. I thought they were just a bit off last year. I don't think their forwards had the impact that we would expect from a traditional Melbourne. You know, just the meterage and the dominance, they just didn't get that ascendancy. And this year they seem to have turned it around. So that gives, obviously, a lot more space to play with. And, yeah, I think we probably underestimated the Storm heading into this year. I don't know why, because have we not learned anything over the last 20 years, especially with Craig Bellamy potentially is this his last year there? And yeah, I think I'm the same. I think I probably underestimated the Storm and their capabilities. And yeah, they'll definitely be there once again. And yeah, we were stupid for sort of not giving them their due credit, I don't think.
And Vonnie, what's the latest with Josh Schuster? I know he's left Manly, but any ideas where he's going to end up?
It's hard, isn't it? I think this whole contract is a really ugly episode for Manly. And for Josh, he's sort of become a bit of an undesirable at the moment. You know, but he was getting paid on potential we still haven't seen yet. So, yeah, I know he's off Manly's books, but where does he go? I'm not sure, because at the moment he's a very expensive option if you take his form. And look, he's been playing New South Wales Cup, so are you paying that sort of money for a reserve grader? I don't know. I think for Josh, he owes it to himself to really just knuckle down, focus on what he's good at, focus on what matters, and get stuck into some footy, because we've had a lot of stories about this guy, and really we haven't seen anything on the field. You know, he's got, if you point to the scoreboard, he's got nothing to show for himself. So he's really got to just work out what he wants to do and what matters, and that's being an NRL first grader. Let's start there. So, yeah, I think Josh Schuster's, it'll be an interesting, I haven't heard of where he's looking or what his manager's doing or, any sort of potential interest from any clubs, but he'll pop up somewhere and you just hope he's not one of those guys that, you know, could have been a superstar and just never quite made it. But Manly have got a massive game on tonight. I'm really looking forward to this. Manly and Parra, they only played each other about, three or four weeks ago. But Manly have sort of been steady sailing after that. You can't say the same about Parra. Brad Arthur said yesterday that, you know, he's had to make sweeping changes. He said everyone was really sheepish around the Eels this week. He said they were a little bit embarrassed. They're a little bit disappointed about that Darwin capitulation. And he thought, good, that's how you all should feel. You should be embarrassed about that. So he reckons they've dealt with it, which is good. And the important thing is tonight, the way they move on, the response that they give, because yeah, it's pretty tense times for Parramatta, and BA said he hasn't demanded a response, but if the boys had a lot of self-respect in their craft as a footy player and the jersey, they need to come out and put on a performance tonight, because yeah, what we saw against the Dolphins in Darwin was nowhere near acceptable, and yeah, everyone was pretty disappointed. So yeah, I think tonight will be very interesting to see how the Blue and Golds get back on track, hopefully.
Gee, they've really started blaring the music in the background here at the Grange Golf Course in Adelaide. Yvonne Sampson from Fox League joining us. Loz is dancing as well. I mean, it's just, honestly, it's quite off-putting.
Well, one of the great songs was on.
Yeah, look.
Let's get down to business.
Mate, the looks on the facials you were giving were just disturbing. But anyway, yeah. Vonnie, Des Haslar and the Titans have a victory. And yeah, I think it's been coming for a few weeks as well, but also the Warriors, like, where are they at all of a sudden? I mean, we all love the Warriors. They're a lot of people's second team, but they're all of a sudden in a ditch, not really a hole, but a little ditch.
Yeah, well, they've lost their last three games, which has been a bit of a curveball for the Warriors, and their coach, Andrew Webster, said he was gutted. I think when you look at their fifth tackle options, that was really poor yesterday. They had 22 play the balls inside the Titans' red zone, and they just couldn't come up with a match winner. They couldn't come up with a way to work their way out of danger and get a try. So, yeah, I think the Warriors have, I don't know what's going on, but they're not playing the way that they want to. The Titans, though, finally, that drought's been broken, and Des Haslar said, if you look over the past month, that performance has been building, and he's right. Des had a little sneaky surprise for Manly last week, and you know, Manly only got away with it by the skin of their teeth on the Gold Coast. So, Titans have been building, which is good. And I think we've sort of forgotten that they lost Tino Fasua-Amalawi, which is such a major knock for a club like the Titans. And, yeah, Foran said that you could feel the desperation from the boys, and they just needed to get that win. So that was a big, big, big ask for them to go across to New Zealand on a big occasion. That was the biggest gathering of New Zealand Defence Force anywhere in the world. So I think they had about 150 Army and Air Force personnel. And, Mount Smart Stadium was, you know, really up for this, and it was another sellout. But, yeah, it was a big performance by the Titans to go over there and get that performance and get that win. And then, yeah, finally now they can start to hit a little bit of fresh air and move on, because once you get one, it's much easier to keep going.
Early in the week, Vonnie, we had a real good guy, a real warrior, Dale Finucane, announce his retirement from the game. What's his legacy, do you think?
Oh, I love Big Johnny Rambo. He's like a real-life action hero, isn't he? He's very, very special. He's had an incredible career, and disappointed that he doesn't get to go out on his own terms. And, you know, in this game, not everyone gets a fairy tale. But you can never question the way Dale played and all heart and... And to his credit, his wife sort of urged him to you know, seek medical attention and get some database and get some information on his symptoms that he was experiencing. And then, yeah, just the call was made, because sometimes, you know, your health and your family and your future are more important than footy. So to retire effective immediately must have been a really tough decision, but really the only decision to make in the end. And I hope Dale comes and works with us at Fox, because he's done a couple of things on the panel, and he's an absolute superstar and just one of the nicest guys. So, yeah, I know the future will be great for Dale. But, yeah, sad news, I think, when one of those guys like that that will never, ever let you down doesn't get a chance to go out on his own terms. But, yeah, we'll remember Dale for all the great stuff he gave us, and we're definitely going to miss that big charge on run that he would... Mm. Apparently, he'd do that around the club, and he'd do that at training. So, yeah, we love Dale, and, yeah, hopefully we'll see him on the Fox League coverage.
We spoke about the Parramatta Manly game tonight at Brookvale, and the Manly players will be wearing black armbands. And just such sad news, Vonnie, during the week, a couple of days ago. Terry Hill, at just 52 years of age, has passed away.
Very, very sad. And I think Manly Warringah, they'll pay tribute to their premiership winner, Terry Hill, this evening. And they'll have something special planned at Brookvale Oval. And as you mentioned, only 52. So sudden and so sad. And I mean, he was part of the footy show in the golden era, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he was such a character and a bit of a larrikin. And the players will wear black armbands tonight, and they'll remember one of the great players for, especially through that 90s era for Manly, and it was such a special time for them. So, yeah, all our thoughts and sympathy go to Terry Hill's family and friends and all those who knew and loved him. But, yeah, a bit of a shock this week for all of the fans, and yeah, we'll definitely pay tribute to him tonight.
We better get a tip from Uncle Laurie if he's got one.
Oh yes, Morfordville tomorrow, race 5, number 1, Arkansas Kid.
Okay, right, Arkansas Kid. Well, okay, I'll have to find that. My computer's just blown up. But thank you, Vonnie. Thank you so much.
I think it was about $3.50 or something.
Okay. Beautiful. Well, we'll give it strength.
Vonnie, boys, you enjoy have a great... Live. It sounds like you're in a nightclub. Well, don't enjoy it. Have you got your good jeans on?
We've just watched Phil Mickelson walk past.
He
us.
Just got out of the car right in front of us.
What?
Yep, the great Phil Mickelson. I gave him a wave, Vonnie. I've got nothing back.
Oh, not a Raiders fan.
Brushed. But that's okay. I'll fight on.
That's
you
wonderful.
Just keep dancing, mate. You just keep dancing. Vonnie, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you, boys. See ya.
Very strong fields at Eagle Farm tomorrow. The carnival there, well, it's around the corner. And Michael Maxworthy is joining us. How are you, Maxie?
I'm good, thank you, Mido. Good morning, guys. Yes, Eagle Farm tomorrow. We've got 3 listed races and a lot of interest in the card tomorrow as we get ready for the official start of the carnival, which is in 7 days' time. I can report that it's a little bit cloudy over Eagle Farm at the moment. There might be just an odd shower. The last couple of meetings we've had here, Mido, they've been wanting to get off the rails, and that's probably going to be the case again tomorrow, I would think.
Talking about tomorrow then, the Brisbane Mile, Jimmy Starr is the favourite. Maxie, can he be beaten?
No, he's at $2.30, Loz, last time I looked. Now,
yep.
I see a couple of the other favourites in that race tomorrow, Overriding and Gringotts, their second and third favourite behind Jimmy Starr. They've accepted to run today at Tamworth now. So when they're withdrawn, I think Jimmy might come in to probably around about $1.70. Yeah. Look, he's been a little bit of a headline horse, hasn't he, Mido? A bit of controversy there a couple ago in Melbourne. And then last start, he just couldn't see the light of day at all at Newcastle. And then he missed the run last Saturday at Randwick when they put the last couple of races off. So they'll be unveiling him in Brisbane tomorrow. And it just looks a perfect race for Jimmy Starr. He's drawn gate number 5. They've booked Robbie Dolan. He'll probably sit back in the field and then sweep home down the outside. And we'll see what he's made of tomorrow.
What are your best bets then, Maxie?
I'm going to go race 4, number 5, centre 5. Now, there's a lot of southern interest in this meeting tomorrow. And we spoke about Kieran Maher with Jimmy Starr. He's got this nice 3-year-old called Centre 5 in race 4. Now, he's probably been in the second bracket of Melbourne's top 3-year-olds. He's got form around Stapardi, Southport Tycoon, King Colorado. He's third up. I think 1,400 metres tomorrow is his sweet spot. And here he is in a benchmark 75. I know he's running against older horses, but I think that kind of form, that Stapardi form, is too good for this. And the other one that I like, this first up in race 5, he's got a really good fresh record, a horse called Sunfall, trained by Barry Lockwood. He had a recent soft trial, and the last time he was first up, he was excellent. So provided he's fit enough for the 1,300 metres, I think he's extremely hard to beat. So the two for Eagle Farm at this point tomorrow, race 4, number 5, Centify, and then race 5, number 12, Sunfall.
Yeah, and that's a $7.50 chance, Sunfall currently. $2.70 to place in a very open race that's $5.50 the field with Swiss Exile, the favourite. It's going to be great racing there tomorrow, Maxie. Really looking forward to it. And thanks for your mail this morning, mate.
Okay, have a good weekend, guys.
Michael Maxworthy there. Now, just before we go to the news, Loz, you've chosen your bets, friends.
These are the five.
Or tips.
Yep,
sorry.
these are the five people that will go on the best friends page. We know, so it's Larissa. She's going Eagle Farm, race 7, number 5, Vodka Martini.
Yep.
Chookie, the bus driver. He's going race 8, number 10 in Sydney, I Know a Star. Dave from Penshurst has gone race 5, number 12, Stormy Witness. Duffy, he's going race 9, number 1, Sir Lucan, and John the Garbo. Eagle Farm, race 2, number 10. She's a dandy.
Oh, rightio. Did you get fin chops in?
That went over your head, didn't it?
No, yeah, it did. No, I made
Stormy
it.
Daniel.
Stormy Witness. Geez. All right, okay, got you. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It did.
There was no laugh. There was nothing. There was no love.
Sorry, mate.
All right.
How's the multi, by the way?
The multi, race 3, number 7. This is in Sydney tomorrow. Green Shadows to run top 2. Into race 8, number 4, Waterford to run top 4.
$6. I'm told there were lulls elsewhere.
Oh, right. Yeah. Thank you.
So I let you down. Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. We're here at the Grange Golf Club in Adelaide. If you're just tuning in, ahead of day one of LIV Golf. Loz is star spotting there off the balcony. Right. He's already spotted Phil Mickelson walking in here. And who have you got now, Loz?
Well, I don't know who the bloke is, but the car he came in, he needs to upgrade. Well, because that's not the same car as Phil. Phil's in a lot better car.
Right.
He's in a small car, this bloke. Did you know who he was?
Evan Priest, good morning to you, mate.
Sorry.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Good to be here. Adelaide, Radelaide. Apparently not supposed to call it Radelaide. But,
okay.
I was saying to Will, our producer, before that this is actually one of the biggest sporting events in Australia. You know, you would sort of put it up there in terms of crowd and atmosphere with State of Origin and the Australian Open Tennis, some of the bigger matches at the Australian Open Tennis, Boxing Day Test at the MCG. It's not quite there, but it's one of our biggest.
Well, it's just having those big names in Australia, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's something we've just yearned for years in golf in this country. And when I was going through the market before and you realise, geez, we just haven't seen these names here. Well, the amount of names for one tournament,
yeah,
of that ilk.
Ever. The only time we've had three Presidents' Cups, 1998, 2011 and 2019. But even then, it's kind of that's only 24 players and not all of them are superstars, you know, like because the Europeans can't come down. Well, there's quite a few European stars in LIV Golf. So it's the strongest field really ever assembled in Australia and the biggest crowds for a golf tournament in Australia. They're anticipating sort of 35,000 a day from today onwards. So massive.
Cam Smith, naturally, you know, we'll have, I'm sure, huge galleries following him around the course today. What are you expecting from him on the Grange here this year?
I think he's going to win. He's actually, you know, we'll get to it later. He's my tip to win because Cam's off-season is now delayed kind of thing versus the PGA Tour because he would always start in Hawaii, which is the beginning of January, which means he'd be practicing in late November to get ready. Mm. Nowadays, he's not starting until late January, pushes everything back, so it wasn't until I just got back from the Masters in America, and it wasn't until the Masters that he really started to play some really good golf. He was tied for 6th at the Masters, so I think that indicated I think he's going to win this week. He was tied 3rd here last year, so he's my pick this week, absolutely.
And him and Johnny Rahm play together today, is that right?
That's right, yeah. They get the captains together, and then they get the remaining teammates of each captain's team all together. So if you're an Aussie fan, you can go follow Cam Smith and John Rahm, and you can go out and follow Mark Leishman, Matt Jones and Lucas Herbert. And they're trying to spread the crowds out just a little bit in case you do follow a team or a country. So that'll be good. It's going to be big.
Just the whole team's format of LIV is something you can tell they're really trying to push. You see the signage everywhere. That's something I think is probably harder for fans to get their heads around. Is that a fair comment at this stage?
Absolutely. And I just don't know if they've executed it that well because, you know, the team's aspect is, as Clarkie would have seen with the IPL and whatnot, it's hard to get passion for a brand new team. Some of those are actually geographically based. There's a South African team, Stinger GC, there's an Aussie team, Ripper GC, but then some of the American teams, it's just a bit of a hodgepodge collection of guys, and they're stars for sure, but you need that tribalism, and you basically, I would think, you have to either have every country have their own team, or if they're American cities or regions, you know, New England or West Coast or whatever it might be.
And tell us about this party hole, buddy. I know Loz is pumped and excited, but what can we expect this year?
Absolute bedlam, Clarkie. It's pretty cool. I've been to the Phoenix Open. You know, we were all chatting about this a couple of months ago when I previewed the Phoenix Open, but I went there once, and that is chaos. They get, you know, over, I think it's 150,000 people a day, and they have a famous hole, the party hole, the 16th there. This is the closest thing I would say around the world to that 16th hole in Phoenix, except there, it's kind of more of a stadium. It actually is the size of a football field, a little bit bigger. The fans are sort of a little more distant from the tee. At here, on the 12th hole, in the watering hole, they're right on top of the players. But it's less abusive probably than Phoenix and more friendly. But they're right on top of them. And we saw last year, Brooks Koepka's younger brother made a hole-in-one on the Sunday. And the footage went viral. It was in America. I was over in the States at the time. It was on ESPN. People are throwing beers. I heard that someone got concussed by a full beer can hitting them in the head.
Jesus.
So it's going to be epic, that 12th hole.
Have you mentioned before how it's a massive event, and I just get the feeling it is a big event, like just through people we've spoken to. But how do you compare it, like today, and I know you probably can't rate it until after the event, but even today turning up, atmosphere, different things done around the course, how does it compare to last year?
Yeah, so I only watched from afar last year. I was actually in America for this last year. However, watching it on TV, I was like, this is the blueprint for LIV Golf. This is what it should be 14 times a year. And I've actually just written a story overnight about how they're trying to recreate that around the world, because everyone looks at this event and think, well, that's the potential of LIV Golf. That's the ceiling, you know? Like, that's epic. So last year, it was massive. It's going to be bigger this year because they've actually increased the ticket capacity.
Yeah, and I know they like to do things differently, and this is probably, I don't know, pie in the sky stuff, because it would cost a lot of money. But if there was, you know, someone capable of doing it, it's probably LIV. What about night golf?
Yeah.
Did that ever work?
It's a good point you raised, Loz, because that was in my story that's this in Golf Digest overnight. Professional golf has never really held a tournament. Men's professional golf never held a tournament under lights. The ladies did on the ladies European Tour had one in Dubai 5 years ago, and it was a massive success. And it's one of those things that, like, why isn't there more night golf played? Not only participation wise, but professionally.
And for television ratings.
Yeah,
too,
it's. I mean, because if golf is restricted, cricket is similar in a way, Clarkie. You obviously need daylight, which restricts the regions around the world where you can broadcast it. But if you've got the flexibility of night golf and even morning golf, you can kind of go anywhere in the world. And Dubai, so places like Dubai, bigger cities in Japan, Korea, night golf is massive in Korea. They're looking at all those markets. And I would say it's likely either going to be Dubai or Japan next year where they'll probably have a night golf event.
I'm playing night golf with you. You'll hit the ball out of the lights. We'll be there till 4 a.m. trying to find it.
Oh, no, I'd be no good. But I just wondered whether they would go down that path. And I get the fact that it'd cost a lot of money.
Yeah, I think it'd be so cool just watching the Dubai skyline, all those skyscrapers, some of the best players in the world, seeing the ball fly through the air. You know, it'd be really cool. So they're looking at it.
You said you're in, you know, obviously in Augusta, covering the Masters. Any further fallout, I guess, from the tournament heading towards the other majors?
Yeah, just the fact that, you know, Scottie Scheffler sent a pretty ominous message to the golf world. He might win two or three of them this year, you know. And if you're not a fan of his, you probably were a bit deflated after the Masters, thinking, God, is he going to do this every major? And that, nothing certain in golf, not even Tiger Woods could pull that off, really. But that's the sort of fallout from it. The other fallout was the fact that Greg Norman, the commissioner of LIV Golf, went to the Masters. And that was one of probably the highlight of the week for me, just seeing the shark, you know, one of the most controversial figures in golf the past couple of years, walk through the front gates with a ticket as a punter and just shaking hands and kissing babies. And it was a sight to be like. He was even wearing the white straw hat like he used to in the late 90s. You know, it was vintage shark.
Okay, so you're tipping Cameron Smith, who's $9 with Tab. So John Rahm's the $8.50 favourite. Joaquin Neiman, the Australian Open champion, at $10 on the third line. Bryson DeChambeau at $12. Tyrrell Hatton at $15. But you're pretty keen on Cameron Smith to win the tournament over the next 3 days?
I think so. You know, whenever Cam plays well at the Masters, he typically has a good year following that. Tied six, it was his fifth top 10 at the Masters. You know, he's only played the Masters 8 times, so five of those 8, he's in the top 10. Just shows that he's in form, his swing, he's really coming out of a nice off-season, and he's looking sharp. Bryson DeChambeau is another one. Like, seeing his odds at $12, that's also appealing to me. John Rahm, he just hasn't been convincing on LIV Golf yet, and for $8.50, I don't love that. So, yeah, I would have a nibble at Cam Smith and Bryson DeChambeau.
Can I ask, you said he hasn't been convincing. Why would that be?
You would think someone, a two-time major champion and someone who won 4 times last year, including the Masters, you would think he would win one of his first 5 or so. And he's been up there without hitting that extra gear. And he's clearly, on his day, he's better than all these blokes. Like, he is the best player on the LIV roster. And to not win yet, just, I don't know where his game is at. I don't know if the practice is where it would be normally on the PGA Tour. So,
but would be travel?
No, not really. He's probably travelling more when he was on the PGA Tour. He would have played about 8 or 9 tournaments leading into the Masters on the PGA Tour schedule, his PGA Tour schedule. On this, he's only played sort of 6 events or 5 events leading into this. So he's a little bit underdone, to answer your question, Loz. Yeah.
The other thing we're going to be watching closely in the next, 3 months is the rankings heading into the Olympics, aren't we? And
correct.
As far as the Aussies are concerned, well, Jason Day said he wants to play, doesn't he? And he's ranked 22 in the world. You can pretty much put him in there. So one other. Minwoo Lee's ranked 32nd at the moment. I think only as someone's ruled themselves out. I forgot who it was.
But Adam Scott.
Adam Scott's ruled himself out, and he's ranked 52, and Cameron Smith's 53rd in the world at the moment. And we know the only way he can gain rankings points is in the majors.
That's right, yeah. And that was one of the other fallouts from the Masters. Is Jason Day actually put his hand up for the Australian team for the first time. He didn't go. When golf returned to the Olympics in 2016, he didn't go to Rio because of the concerns around that Zika virus at the time. He was still growing his family. And then, of course, 2021, he wasn't good enough to be selected. So he's finally arrived, and he said, yep, I want to go. So that kind of takes out top spot, which leaves basically Minwoo Lee and Cameron Smith. And they're kind of in a race against the clock. And Minwoo's got the head start because he's on a tour where they do get world ranking points. Cameron Smith's on one where they don't. So he basically would nearly have to win a major to get on that Olympic team. So I'm not suggesting that you write Cameron Smith off. It's just going to be really difficult from here on in to catch up to Minwoo. And Minwoo is fired up. He's really, really inspired to join his sister, Minji Lee, the 2-time LPGA Tour winner. She'll be on the Aussie team with another major winner, Hannah Green from Perth. And he's really fired up for that. So it's going to be very hard to catch Minwoo Lee.
What can we expect from Anthony Kim? I didn't know much about the Anthony Kim story until Middo was telling me about him last night, and he did an interview with him on Wednesday. But it's quite remarkable what he's been through and what he'd already achieved before he retired and finished. But he's back now playing. What can we expect from him?
Yeah, nothing great just yet. His scores would suggest that at the Miami event that they had just before the Masters, he's hit the two of the three rounds he didn't break 80, which is not very good for a professional golfer. So he's still getting his game back. He's got those little flashes of brilliance. He shot I think it was a 65, 5 under par in Hong Kong a month or two ago. So that game's still there. And you look at his golf swing, and it's amazing. It's kind of what you remember in 2008, 2009 when he took the world by storm. He was a bit of a party boy. He might be the most interesting man on LIV Golf. You know, he's come back from addiction, mental health problems. He hinted the fact that he's been in rehab. And to come through all that, have a family, have a beautiful daughter, and sort of have some perspective, and now he's back on LIV Golf. It's a really interesting story. I hope he plays well, because it'd be a cool thing as a media to write about, you know?
And basically not pick up a club for 12 years. Like, could you imagine, across all professional sports, having 12 years off and coming back and trying to do it at the highest level again in anything?
No. Well, the closest I can think of would be, and I'm unsure of how long she had off, was Lauren Jackson. In basketball.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, she had a number of years off and came back, and look at where she is at now. Yeah. But he's always had the talent, young. And the thing about golf, I suppose, different to a lot of other sports, you can play it
for a long
period of time. So having 12 years off, I suppose, when you're young, while it affects you, you can still get that rhythm back at some point. You know, if you,
Clarkie, what was the longest you ever had off in your career?
I don't know, but I couldn't think of anything worse than picking up a bat right now, that's for sure. My back would collapse just holding a bat. I think of Matty Hayden had 6 years out of the Australian team and come back and was 10 times a player, but he was still playing. I can't think in in cricket, I can't think too many players where you completely stop and then you can just flick that switch and turn it back on. I feel like, but cricket as well, you've probably got an age barrier as well, don't you? Like, you're not going to see blokes coming back and playing it. You know, I think it'd be, for me to try and come back now at 43 and play at the highest level, I think I'd be kidding myself.
Yeah, and you've got the ball to react to kind of thing. Golf is, you're initiating all the movement, so you really do need those competitive reps and the muscle memory, and Clarkie would know all about that. But I think golf would be one of the hardest sports to take up. If you didn't touch a club for 6 years, that'd be, couldn't imagine my golf swing.
Evan, great to see you in the flesh, and it'd be interesting to get your perspective considering you weren't at this tournament last year. I mean, you've been covered a gazillion tournaments around the world to get, you know, your take on how different it really is to everything else you sort of cover. So we'll chat next week, but great to see you today, mate.
Yeah, thanks, boys. Cheers.
Okay, we're going to preview the racing show shortly, but Lozza, you brushed Finchop.
Yes.
You gave us magic time last week,
and
we found a way to muscle him in on Bet's Friends. Is that right?
I've got him back. I've got Finchop up on Bet's Friends.
Well, he's just threatened to leave us and go elsewhere.
Did. Yeah. So we're going Caulfield Race 6, number 6 for Finchop. Midday, you'll have to help me out with how I'm pronouncing this.
Elphinstone.
Elphinstone. Right here. There we go. So that's Finchop's.
At
Caulfield.
Caulfield, yeah.
Race six, number six. Yep.
Good on you, Finchop. You're in on Bet's Friends. Now, we're going to go to Steve Hewlett, ahead of Radio Tab this morning, ahead of this great card tomorrow at Eagle Farm as well. How are you, Steve?
I'm really well, yes. Looking forward to it. We're only weeks away from the Victory Stakes, the official start. And don't forget the big Archer on Sunday at Rockhampton, where Edward Cummings has got the favourite in a $750,000 race, the straight Acer I'm talking about. So Tommy Berry and Tyler Schiller. Tyler rides straight Acer, and Tommy rides Better Get Set. So they're the two faves for the big one on Sunday at Rocky as well.
And we've got the Group 1s in Adelaide as well,
of course. Yeah, speaking of that, some of our guests this morning, James Cummings, we want to find out about Cascading, if he's definitely heading to Queensland, broadsiding, what's happening there in secret. They've got that team, Zapateo, in the Group 1. Patrick Payne, Wings of Songs, chasing 7 in a row, heading into the Australasian Oaks. He's also got Bold Soul heading to the Derby via this race tomorrow in Adelaide, and Sione is really going well. So Patrick will join me. David McComb produced a horse yesterday on Debuji. It was impressive. Could be a real Winter Carnival player. It won impressively at the Sunny Coast. And Mick Price, one of our guests in the first hour as well. A lot to talk to him about.
Certainly. And Paddy Payne, will have to, Loz, keep an ear to that interview with Steve, because Sione is the favourite in your Bonnie Mare's race tomorrow. The Queen of the South, Foxy Cleopatra, a $13 chance. Sione's the $3.60 favourite.
I like his horse in the Oaks. I think it's his horse.
In the Australasian Oaks.
Yeah, Australasian Oaks. Winds of Song.
Okay, yep, $6 in a very open Oaks there tomorrow at Morfordville. Thank you, Steve. We'll catch you shortly. Steve Hewlett there, Radio Tab coming up. David Stanley, how are you, mate? Where are you?
Morning, Jared.
What's doing?
Morning in Sydney, mate. In Sydney, beautiful day here. Loving and very jealous of you guys down there in Adelaide. Looks sensational. Hope you have a lot of fun today. And we're going to try and make a quid tomorrow at Rose Hill. We've got the punters panel. And we're going to look as well at Tamworth today, because it's the big Tamworth Cup. They've had Anzac Day yesterday, and I've spoken to a few people around the Tamworth area. There's a few sore heads this morning, and they're going to make their way out of the race course a little bit later on. Of course, that Tamworth Cup, big money on offer, great field, and Big Dan's eligibility as well. So that is tomorrow. Lozza?
I've got a bit of a tip for Tamworth today, Dave.
Have you?
Yeah.
What have you got? You've been getting
number
these
one.
Tips.
Don't tell anyone.
Race one, number one. What is it? Is this a G up, or is this actually legit?
It's actually not.
But look, it was Ali Mosley's tip. All right. He's stealing it.
Hell's about. Well, I know that. Well, see, there's okay. So you can decipher. You can. One thing I love about tips, boys, you can start the decipher. Do a bit of NYPD blue behind it. So Ali is obviously the partner of Luke McDonald, as we know. Luke is best mates with Brett Kavanagh's son. So you can start to put the puzzle together. And this one trained by Cav. You got Aaron Bullock on. So I wonder, obviously, there's been a bit of form done. But no doubt there would have been a few phone calls yesterday. What do you like?
You're saying Ali didn't just choose it herself.
No.
So
I'm saying,
your partner ability to choose a horse, are you?
I'm saying, what I'm saying is it gives the tip a bit of extra clout.
Ah, fair enough.
Because no doubt the form would have been done. It'd be like if you were doing the form on one and you give T-Bus a call and say, is this going to win? And he goes, I think you're on the money, Loz. And then next minute, you just a bit more enthusiasm.
Yep. No, that's exactly. I like that.
By the way, I spoke with Jason Ferrario, obviously from the Wagga Turf Club, the CEO, earlier in the week, and he was telling me about all the different trainers from all over the country that are going to target the Cup. He said that there were going to be some busted and young horses at the Wagga Carnival next week. Now, probably not your pony, but they're going to have a team there. So, mate, if you can organise an interview or something.
The T-Bus,
because if they're going to take a team to Wagga next week, we're going to be there, of course, Thursday, Friday. Well, I'll be there Thursday, Friday. I think you boys get in Thursday, Arvo, and from the Faz on Friday morning. But they could have a cup runner. Foxy wouldn't back up, would she?
No, I
doubt it.
No, I don't think so, Dave. No. We'll see how she goes tomorrow first.
Yes.
And make an assessment after that race. But we'll see what happens.
Obviously, it was a very special day yesterday. Great to see so many people, you know.
Why did you go out to the footy yesterday?
I did go out to the footy. I did. I went along and started early. Didn't leave early. Stayed. Very disappointing. What's been the consensus on the text line this morning?
No good. Roosters were too good. But
no good.
But next week you take on the Sharks and
local derby.
Shane Flanagan, you know, the old coach of the Sharkies. He sort of had a crack at him after the game, so we'll be ready. So, and I reckon, Dave, the Dragons this year will have results where they play well for a couple of weeks and then they'll have a poor game. I think that might be the form guide with the Dragons this year. Just trying to establish some consistency, but it might be hard to get. But I think they're improving as a footy team, even though they were dusted up yesterday.
And what do you make of the Roosters after yesterday? Do you get in a false sense with the Roosters? Because they didn't beat much. And, I mean, they got all those players. They got stadiums. They got sombreros. I mean, they should be winning by 100, really.
Well, you know what, Dave? The thing with the Roosters, I was expecting that type of performance earlier in the year. You know, not so much 60, but to look.
So it's clicking late.
Yeah.
Can they win the comp? Could the Roosters win the comp?
Yeah, they can. Yeah. With the firepower at their disposal, definitely.
Pup, the Tigers will take care of the Broncos at Campbelltown tomorrow, won't they?
I got it wrong. I said they'd beat Penrith. I got that wrong. So, no, I might just keep it quiet this week. I might. I'll still tip them, but, yeah, I won't be as loud and proud. Sledging me, Mido. Don't worry about that.
I love the pup beside the pool there yesterday. I saw that on the Instagram, mate. You're having a ball over there.
Yeah, I was chilling, buddy. Well, I'm working night, so it's not my go. I'm more of a morning person. Like, it's 4:30 a.m. here now. But, yep.
When you said you're working night, yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Dave. I'm thinking I'm working two jobs while you're over there.
No. Cricket, mate. They're day-nighters. Right. The reason I'm here.
We've got to go.
Our activity, unfortunately.
Pop, you have
See
a great weekend, mate.
Love ya.
Loz, you too.
See you, gents.
And thanks to everyone at the Grange Golf Club in Adelaide for having us. Stay DS, have a great weekend. All our listeners, have a fantastic